Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. I'm also the author of Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's this week going?
Hello, Cindy. Much better than last week, that's for sure.
Okay, yeah, no accidents, no boo-boos, everything's okay.
Actually, there was an accident today, but I wasn't involved in it. Well, I was involved in it, but I wasn't involved in it.
Okay, good. Whatever that means.
Well, it was very, very simple. There was an accident right outside of my office. A couple of the people were hurt. I of course, ran outside to see that everybody was okay and made somebody call an ambulance and kind of just sat with somebody talking to them until the ambulance got there. So,
oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Now, are you still at your old job or have you started your new one?
I am still at the old job. I'm actually, tomorrow is my last day, and then the new job starts on Monday. So by next show, I will be able to give you the entire first week of my new job.
Wow, it sounds so exciting, though.
Yeah, right?
We can't wait to hear all about it. It's exciting to start a new job. You know, a little anxious. You know, I'm sure you're a little anxious, too. It's a big change, but, you know, I'll just pick one little card on it. Ooh, looks very good. Good money.
Okay.
Looks like you're going to like it. Just a little bit of anxiety because, you know, don't worry and anticipate all this weekend. Just have a good time.
Okay. Well, I'm more worrisome and anticipatory this weekend because Lisa's away until Sunday. Lisa is in Canada until Sunday. Her job called her, same company, called her to find, to see if she would go on a rescue mission up north, for one of the schools up there. So she got on a plane this morning, and she's not back until Sunday, afternoon. So
wow,
I think that's why I'm more anxious, is that, I miss my girl, but it's okay.
Right, I can see that, I know. But everything looks good for you. You're going to do very, very well. You're going to learn your skill and do really well. So I'm not worried about that new job. It looks really good for you. So
awesome.
I'm very happy for you. We got a lot of emails this week, everybody saying, wishing Nicole great luck on her new job. People seem to get a kick out of that, you've got this other job, and how loyal you were about saying that you were leaving your old job. So
yep.
They got a very, very, very big kick out of it. And today I had a lot of clients coming for readings. Of course, I always have them still after the show. But people came bearing chocolate and plants. Everybody came with something, chocolate, plants for me.
That's awesome.
Don't you think that was sweet?
Okay, anybody wants to visit me with chocolate, you go right ahead.
I know, and like these beautiful plants, and I was like, and every time I go out, there's another plant out there. I'm like, wow, how sweet. And it's one of those things, I haven't had time to really go to the nursery much. I have some hanging plants that I ran and got, but I was like, oh, isn't that nice?
See, the universe is taking care of it for you. They're going, Cindy,
I know.
If you're not going to go and get your plants, we're just going to bring them to you.
That's it. And so now I'm like, just so happy. It just made my day. So I want to thank my clients for being the best clients in the whole universe. I mean, it's just
excellent.
Unbelievable. Now, I know we have a lot of listeners tonight, and of course we both had trouble logging in today, so
oh,
I don't know what
God.
That's about.
And actually, Cindy, before, it's still in my head. I've been meaning to ask you to do this before the show for like the last few weeks. Can you pop an email over to Blog Talk? Because I don't know what it is with the music in the beginning. I'm chewing it up, and it's taking longer and longer and longer to load, and I don't know why.
Okay, well, we have to ask them about that, and I have to ask them why we can't post to Facebook anymore.
Yep.
So, of course, there's always, you know, with electronics, there's always, always problems, and nobody knows how to handle them. For instance, when I was downloading my new book to Kindle, I kept getting this, like, funny thing saying that the Kindle site was down and they can't do this right now. So I contacted Kindle for 3 weeks. They never saw, and I kept sending them what I was getting, and they never saw anything like it. And, you know, meanwhile, I'm trying to download that, get that book up for sale on Kindle. And I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I heard my spirit guide saying, Cindy, the file's corrupted. Nobody knows what they're talking about. Just erase the whole thing and start over. And in 15 minutes, I had it up and running. But meanwhile, this Kindle staff can't figure out, just start over.
I know. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
With the electronics, I think most of the time, we don't know why things are working or not working. So we just do the best we can. But so far, we haven't been blown off the show too many times lately. So
no, so, hey, knock on wood for that.
But again, I saw it on Sirius Radio a few times, you know, them being blown off the air, so I'm starting to feel a little bit better.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I feel better if it's happening to them, too.
Okay, good. Now, I know we have some people that have been waiting a long time. We have a 666 number, which is Bayshore, I think. It's a local.
I think so. I just love that beginning extension, that 666. That's awesome.
I know. They're funny. So we
yeah,
can figure out who that is, because they've been waiting a long time, and see what they might want guidance on tonight from us.
All right. And as usual, I don't screen the first caller, so let's just see who is at the other end of that line, shall we? Hello,
sure.
You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing, Nicole? It's Jackie Daugherty from
Bayshore. Hi, Jackie Daugherty. So you're in the Brentwood area, huh?
You know me, Cindy. You've been to the house of Bayshore.
I know, Bayshore. So it is Bayshore. Okay.
Yeah,
Okay, good. Because I always think of the road you're on. I always think of it.
Brentwood Road, right, in Bayshore.
Right, but it's not. It's Bayshore, sure. So, Jackie.
My God, why don't we just advertise the house address for guys?
Well, first of all, you can't miss it Christmas time because nobody decorates like Jackie Daugherty. It's like lit up from the LIE. You can see it all the way down to Sunrise Highway, the house. So,
oh, my goodness.
I'm not sure if that's good because people say, that's where you live with, like, a face on. Like, oh, really?
No,
and then some people are like, oh, my God.
Well, they're just jealous that you decorate so much and it's so beautiful.
I think
so. It's festive and it's lovely.
Yes.
Now, Jackie had called in a few weeks ago. She was getting an operation. She had hurt her neck, and so and I spoke to one of your friends recently, and she said you're doing pretty good. Is that true?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. They took out two discs and clamped my vertebrae together, and I'm like beautiful.
Well,
up and around, no pain from the minute I woke up. Nothing.
Wow.
So that was crazy, from all that pain for all those couple of months to bang, nothing. It was amazing. I'm not back to work. I can't go back for like 10 weeks, but I'm good. You know, I'm
good.
Really good.
And I know your daughter, I set up a reading with her, so in the future. So I know she's going through a hard time, too.
Oh, she's crazy. That's kidding.
Okay, but that's okay. Now, you must have something on your mind. Are you worrying about something right now? Because
I'm not worried at all. But when I spoke to you that last reading, you said about my dad and sending somebody to me.
Yes.
Well, like right after that, I'm on a couple of those websites, and a couple of guys I've been talking to for a couple of weeks. And I was wondering if you had any initials or maybe a first name of any one of these could-be guys.
Well, again, we don't ever, ever, ever deal with people who are talking online until they meet these people, because we never know who anybody is online. So
I know.
So
I know.
Are you on Plenty of Fish, by the way?
No.
Good, because that one.
No, I'm paying for the privilege.
Thank you. We good. Actually, I'm glad that you're on websites. I'm glad that you're starting to feel like you want somebody. But you got to meet these people sooner than later. A couple of weeks of talking, and then it's time to sort of move it to the next level. Because oftentimes people are not who they say they are, so we got to meet them before we can give anything. So do you have any plans on meeting in person?
I'm not out and around yet. So
okay.
I'm like just hanging until like August, probably the end of July.
Okay.
So
and
I'm not. And these guys are away. It seems two of these guys is strange because one's like in Holland.
That's
and he's
going
to be back.
They just those are commitment phobics. So like those are fun and game. And don't fall in love with someone you don't meet who's long distance.
No. I have no intention to fall in love with anybody. But I thought, gee, right after I spoke to you, because I had been on for a while and nothing was going on, and then all of a sudden.
Well, good. I mean, enjoy it. But, you know, anybody who's far away really doesn't want a real relationship.
They live in Jersey. Both of these guys live in Jersey but are out of the country doing business. And I'm like, monkey business?
Okay, now we're going to talk about this. This is one of – Jean had, you know – Jean had come here for a reading, and she told me this guy, you know, she showed me a picture of him. He's a really good-looking guy. She went out to dinner or something with him.
Yeah.
And then he says he had to go away to, like, Turkey or somewhere. Yeah,
exactly.
Right,
same idea.
And then he tells her that, you know, his business deal fell through. And this, and I said, immediately my red flags went up. And at first she was reluctant to believe me. And then after I said, this is something not kosher with this guy. I'm not liking this. After she left, I Googled the scams. And these people that are telling you that they're out of the country are scamming you. And they want to get you to know them, like them, and to give them money. So I would tell you kind of stop talking to these two guys.
That would be a sad situation because I have no money.
Right, but the point is they're scam artists, and when you're new to websites, by the way, it's like they scam them every day, and they get to know the regulars. Once somebody's been on these websites for 6 months or a year, they get the number. They've been scammed. They've been, you know, with the people who are really married, and they're saying they're not. But they see the new fresh meat on the block, and that's what you are. So they immediately contact you with this. These are scams. So try very hard to, like, not talk to them. I mean, Dean didn't believe me at first. He goes, well, he hasn't asked me for money. I go, not yet. Well, she just now.
A week later,
he asked her for money, okay? So, I mean, all you need to do is even Google, like, dating scams out of country, and these things will come up. So just know that it's neither of these guys that you're talking to.
Okay.
Kind of like when they're long distance, when they're calling you from New Jersey and that kind of thing, they're not close by, you can't immediately meet them. But
right.
When they start with they got this out of the country stuff, they just get the suckers. And, you know, a lot of women have given them money, by the way. So
I don't have the money to give. I don't make any money. I'm disabled.
Again,
so they'll never get money from me. And I live day to day on my own money, so there's no
way. But
you
don't even want to bother wasting your time with these kind of men.
Yeah.
Talking with them. It's not even fun. Even, you know, Jean still sometimes talks to the guy. I go, this is not fun. These are scam artists. Don't even give them the right time of day.
A day, yeah.
You know what I mean? They're waiting to get you at a moment of weakness. They'll never stop pursuing you because they're still hoping, maybe she'll send me $100, you know. So
no.
I mean,
that's
we had a
person.
Client that called in the show about 2 years ago, and the guy, you know, was claiming he was in Afghanistan. Can you send me this? I need this. I need that. But can you send it to this address? Can you send a check to this address in Texas, and they'll buy me the stuff? I mean, come on. I mean, and she sent him, like, a couple of $100s. I'm like, what, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no. That's never going to be an issue.
There's a new level of crook out there, you know what I mean? And, but
I guess so.
It's not these guys. Your dad will send you somebody. Again, we never even deal with who people are online until you really meet with them because we never know who anybody is. So.
Okay, so I'm going to have to wait for them at the front door then.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. I mean, I'm so glad that your operation went well. That's what we really need to hear from you today.
Oh, yeah. It is. I'm like, but, you know, I've met people. They say to me, oh, because I had to wear that brace for 10 weeks. And they said, oh, what happened to you? And I said, oh, it was a bar fight. Did you see what happened to the other person? But I met a guy in the 7-Eleven, but I didn't say that to him. I got a cup of tea, and I was walking out. And he said, hey, and I, like, turned around because he was, like, almost in my ear. He said, what happened to you? And he said, oh, I had some surgery on my neck. And so he said, you know, what kind? And he had the same surgery and has been in severe pain, never ended. It's still severe pain. And then I spoke to somebody else, the same thing, and I'm like, oh, my God, I have to be the luckiest person in the world.
Yes, you
because,
do. And you do.
Wow.
I mean, that's what I was a little worried because most of my clients don't have success stories with these things. So,
oh, it's beautiful. I have no pain. I didn't have to take – all I needed was – I said to the girl after I woke up, I said, oh, I got a little bit of headache over here. You got like a couple of Tylenol? And she said, oh, that was from the anesthesia. I said, yeah, just a couple of Tylenol. That was it. That was the end of any
good
medicine
girl.
I took at all.
Good,
before
good
that,
girl.
I was in the oxys and taking care of all that stuff. But
well, you, have
as
you
soon
weaned
as the
off
surgery,
your oxys?
It was over.
Are you weaned off your oxys?
No, I had stopped taking them way before even the surgery.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I didn't take them for
those
that
are the worst demonic pills on earth, so I'm glad you're not taking those.
Yeah, no, I don't take it. I'm not even taking Tylenol. I'm done. I'm not a pill taker. I take a blood pressure pill. That's it, because they make me. Every time I forget that damn pill. But
be
no,
careful
no,
with skipping it, because those are very dangerous. Those anybody listening, if you can't just wean off of blood pressure pills, you're going to end up with a stroke. So
yeah, no. Sometimes I forget them, you know, and it's like,
okay.
Oh my God.
Okay,
but I try my best not to.
Okay, good girl. Those are things that you either on or you're off them, but you can't be on and off of them, okay?
I know. No, it's for a minute. It's for a minute. I'm just off of them. No.
Okay, good.
Well, I took up so much of your time, and
well, thank
I'm
you
off
so
that
much,
computer.
Jackie, and we're so glad that you're really doing well.
Yeah.
You made my day to hear from you, and, of course, I'll help your daughter as much
okay,
as I can
thank
when
you.
She gets her reading. Bye.
Okay, take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now we have Leah, who had the neck surgery. We have two neck surgeries in one day.
Yes. Yep, we do. Now, this is going to be Leah next. And she called a while back. And she spoke about, you know, her need for neck surgery, as well as a couple of other things. And, she was, about to, like, you know, there was a complete lack of communication. They were communicating like they were on different planets. And she's over in Southern Cali, and, you know, she's just looking for a huge change, Cindy. She just wants to be someplace else.
This is her soulmate or not communicating? Is that what she said?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, good. Because when I'm reading what you wrote here, it's like Leah, neck surgery, communicating from different planets. I'm like, what planet is she calling from, Jupiter? You know,
you
it
got
was kind
it.
Of funny the way it was written. I was like, ooh, we have somebody from Jupiter today.
Exactly.
So.
You know, and Cindy, you know, in her whole desire to move out of the area that she's in, she wants to know, you know, how is she going to know where to go? And, you know, how is she going to know what the next move really is? So let's go over to Leah in Southern Cali.
Okay. Good.
Hello, Leah. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. I'm calling from Venus or Mars.
You're calling from Jupiter where men get stupider, huh?
I know, yeah.
I mean, it's so funny the way she wrote it. I'm like, oh, boy. I wonder what drug she's on for her neck surgery. She's. I did get a good laugh out of it. Then I know who you are, so I said, nah, Leah's not, it's not Leah. So I'm just laughing, but we needed that laugh, didn't we?
Oh, I do, yeah.
So I know you had a soulmate, and I know from your recent email, so things started falling apart a bit.
Yeah, and something happened where I just saw things just became clear. Like, I keep picking the same type of person or something, but I'm so connected to him on a soul level. I feel like if we split up, it's just going to, like, be worse. And we need to, like, somehow figure out how to work through this. I feel so bound to him. And I think that's mutual. And,
right. No,
it's not like me to keep going back in these situations. But it's triggering me. We're triggering each other. We're reacting to each other. We're in terrible cycles. And we're seeing a counselor. But it's just male-female communication. It's just so hard. And I'm coming from feeling levels, and I'm going through memories of my abuse, and, you know, and that's, like, hard. And I also, I want to know, I mean, I want to speak it out, but it's, like, part of me is like, what am I doing? It's like, is this the same scenario all over again?
Again, we can't leave until it's time to leave. You still have some lessons to learn in being with him. And as long as it's not abusive, you know what I'm saying? But there's lessons to learn in how you interact with him. Because if you don't figure out what you may be doing to inspire the relationship to be going downhill, you'll just do it with the next relationship. So we kind of have to figure out how to say what we mean what we say without being mean about it, how to communicate our needs more effectively. The fact that you're both in therapy together is good. And I see that he's still in the cards for a while because, you know, if you cut it out right now, it's going to be like phantom pain. You're, you know, you like amputate your leg, but you're going to have pain. It's not time, and when it is the time, there'll be lessons in it to be learned in him not being with you. But right now, it looks like you're both trying to run when some really major issues are trying to surface. So why don't you both let them surface? Even if you're not meant to be together, maybe you're soulmates that are meant to help heal these big issues together. And, you know, he loves you very much. You know, his childhood was no picnic either. I don't know if you know about that.
I know, and he doesn't want to look at it. And I am really, I've had a lot of education and skills and practice and communications, and I'm communicating my feelings, but every time he goes to this place of self-hatred that he's wrong, he's just giving me ownership of all his feelings, and I don't want it. And so we're communicating. It's just, I don't know what else to do. I'm using I statements. I'm telling where I'm at, telling him what I feel like I need. And it's just, oh, I'm wrong. It's my fault. You want me to leave and blah, blah, blah. And it's just
very frustrating. And again, we always have to relive our parents' dysfunction. So that starts kicking in any intimate relationship. So we need to examine how you like your mother, how you like your father, how's he like his mother, how's he like his father. Because it's a shifting. I mean, into every relationship, there's like at least six people. Depending if they're step-parents, it even gets more complicated. But trying to just be the two of you in the relationship without all the ghosts from the past is always the problem. And sometimes we're just running an old tape. It's called running an old tape in transactional analysis. If we could go back to our childhood, we're having an exact fight our parents had. It's amazing how we've memorized the fight. How do we come up with a scenario of their fight, but know that, you know, you've got to give it a little more time before you walk away from this one.
I don't want to walk away, but he's giving me all this responsibility for his feelings, and I am pretty intuitive, and I see this hurt little boy underneath, but he thinks there's nothing wrong. And so he's very defensive, and I'm owning my stuff. I really am. But I'm just hitting a wall.
But he's not owning his, because narcissist, it's always your fault. I punched you because you looked at me wrong. Narcissists never take responsibility for their own actions. It's always we made them do it. And, you know, he may have extreme narcissistic tendencies. Is he judgmental, by the way?
I look at his intention, and it's so loving and pure, and that's why I'm there. Because if it was anyone else, you know, I'd be out the door or they'd be out the door. But I think he's coming from a hurt place, but he can't look at it, and I can't force him to. That's not my place, but if he doesn't look at it, it's like our communication is like doomed. I don't know what to do because he's putting all the decision-making on me. It's like, I am not making you feel this. You are dumping this on yourself, your self-hatred, that you're wrong, that you're dumb, that you're this. I'm just seeing
self-hatred ruins love. Because self-hatred is like he hates himself, so he must think there's something fundamentally wrong with you to love him because he's so not lovable. So they end up sabotaging relationships when people have self-hatred. And, you know, it's up to you to, you know, be as loving and supportive as you can. Maybe put a six-month mark on this. Like, I'm going to give it my best, my 2 feet in. Work my best for 6 months to make this work, or 3 months, 3 to 6 months. And at that point, sometimes we need to take 2 feet out. It doesn't mean it's over, but maybe he'll realize you're not enabling him. Because what's happening is your love is going from soulmate down to toxic. Mm-hmm. And then you begin that horrible cycle of addiction. You're hooked on each other. It's not good for you. Go back for more. You have that unconscious contract. No matter what you do or he does, you're not going to abandon each other. It starts getting really mucky. So, you know, if you could say things kindly, try your best for 3 to 6 months, but know that if nothing gives, then you have to move on for a while, whether it means it's forever mm-hmm. or just a while, because, you know, mm-hmm. right now it's not soulmate, it's going down to toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's never good when love does that.
I know, but is he ever going to open up, or do I back off on him just stating my feelings and needs? I mean,
well, you know, sometimes people don't have to heal their deep psychological issues. Behavior modification. If you begin to behave differently, behave, live in the now and be loving now and change mm-hmm. some of your behaviors, maybe that's all he can do. Maybe he's not a person that's going to face the deep, dark demons. But
right.
he has to behave better. I mean, behavior mm-hmm. modification is pretty simple. People learn bad habits, bad ways of asking things, bad ways of talking. So
mm-hmm.
if we learn to communicate better on a day-to-day basis,
mm-hmm.
that could be enough. But, you know, it's just that you're not, you know, he can't blame you and toss it all into your lap, because that's never going to work. So,
what do I do when that happens? Because I'm just stating my needs. I'm learning, and I'm open, and I'm working on my stuff, and I'm just kind of expecting the same effort. And is that, like, wrong? I don't know what to do differently in my communication. I mean,
well,
you're a very clear
communicator as far as I'm concerned. He is a male, and remember, you know, men are from Jupiter, and they have their blind spot. So maybe we're not going to get, you know, maybe they're going to always have those things they don't see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, stating your needs calmly and what you want, see what he does with it. Don't overreact. Try not to
mm-hmm.
become mommy to a boy, because that's really lethal to a relationship. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the outcome looks pretty good here. I mean, most times, you know, unfortunately on this show I'm telling people, forget it. He's not fixable.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He can manipulate at times, but manipulation, everybody manipulates. We have to work at better ways. He doesn't appear to be too judgmental, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves you. So coming from that place of, You seeing, practice the laws of attraction, seeing yourself 6 months from now, and, you know, you guys are healed, you're loving each other, it's happy. Again, love is pretty easy. Dysfunction is complicated. So even
mm-hmm.
if he doesn't heal, but you heal more from this relationship, then you will be a healed person who will meet another healed soulmate, and the next relationship will be pretty easy. That doesn't mean we throw this one away. It just means two healed people have a really easy love affair.
It's just really hard to be so intuitive and feel like I see things and just, I don't know what to do with it.
I was an enlightened being for the last 10 years of my marriage, and my husband would try as hard as it was to make me go crazy and say, see, you're so healed, you're so spiritual. I mean, it became ridiculous. And I just had to learn, it doesn't matter what crazy buttons he's pushing in me, I'm not letting him push me crazy. And, you know, it's hard because the more that we sometimes evolve, the more the other person starts dragging down. And it's
mm-hmm.
easier to be brought down than it is to lift people up, mind you. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, give it your best. Give a time frame. Don't run.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pull a Geographic and run.
Well, the Geographic's been since I've been in Southern California. I'm actually from New York, and I can't make the friends that I still have back east because people are different. And I'm tired of the superficiality, the backstabbing, the lack of loyalty.
Yeah, but that's everywhere. That's 7 out of 10 people in the universe.
But there's people everywhere. But in general, it's very culturally different. I've looked a few places, and it really is different. And no, I'm not saying there's no one will backstab you anywhere, but I'm just having a hard time. I don't belong here. I've always felt like a stranger in a strange land. I ran here from my abusive family. That's the reason I'm here. And I've wanted to get out of here for 32 years, and I don't know where to go. I was raising a kid by myself who had special needs. I couldn't leave. You know, you accumulate stuff. You develop some kind of life, but there's no people again except my
soulmate. Well, give it three months. Turn your love life over to God.
Okay.
And ask God to help you on this one. And then make a decision where you're going to move and what you're going
to
do. But
I mean,
you know,
how will I know where to go? I mean, will I just be Joan? It's just
well, did you
be...
like New York? Then come back to New York. Did you like New York?
I can't live back east anymore. But will he go? Is he open to maybe going somewhere with me? I was thinking of the Pacific Northwest, but not now. No, I still got stuff to do here. But I want to get out of here, like, before he dies sometime. I just don't want to spend the rest of my life here. I'm tired of it.
Well,
I never felt like I fit here.
Figuring out where you might want to go. You don't need all the answers today, but visualize yourself living in a place where you're happy, where you have a nice soulmate relationship. We don't need all the answers. We need to see a way out. But you actually have very good cards, Leah. I mean, looking at them, answers are going to emerge. And
I know you keep telling me that, but it's been, like, hard and so hard. Oh, my God.
Well, life is hard. And it's funny because people have been living dysfunction for 35 years or 50 years, and they expect God to change it all in a minute. It takes a little time to move our lives forward. Again, once we're clear in what we want, life changes in a dime. So you're not helping the universe any since you don't know where you want to go. Sometimes God needs to, okay, Leah, give me a hint. Give me a hint, Leah, and I'll take a baby step forward, and then I'll take a leap of faith with you. But the universe needs us to take those steps forward. You know,
if it was a choice that he wouldn't go with me somewhere, is it, like, better to stay or with him or to leave without him if it came down to that ultimate decision, or is that all?
Again, that answer is not where we live that matters. It's where we love. So if you were loving properly here, you wouldn't be wanting to leave. So, you know, try to see if you can get the love right first.
Yeah. Okay.
And then more things fall into place. And if your love isn't right, then maybe you need to leave to break away from him because it's going to become pretty toxic and not good, and maybe you just need to go cold turkey and get away from him. So, you know, try to see if you can put three months into being committed to where you're living and committed to him and see if that changes some things. But, you know, one foot in, one foot out. You have one foot in, one foot out. That does no good.
Well, I know it's all that sexual abuse stuff that's running my day and night, and I know my need. I'm very needy right now, but I own it. I talk to him about it, but I am getting triggered all over the place, and I just... I found other support, so I don't need to talk to him about it that much, and I let him read
some
of my
writing.
But
You know, when I was dealing with my sexual abuse, I dealt with it 1 hour a day, and then I went about my life. I didn't talk about it, think about it for 23 hours. Okay, one hour a day, I did my book, I read The Courage to Heal. I would do my assignments in the book. I would deal with it an hour a day, and then I would forget it. So maybe you need to now deal with it an hour a day. Don't dwell on it all day long. Because
what happens when you can't sleep all night? Nightmares, memories coming up, triggers all over the place. It's really hard right now.
And again, that's when it will be triggered. And again, sometimes if we just tell the universe, this is what I made my deal with God. I'll do my homework an hour a day about this, and then I want you to leave me the hell alone for 23 hours. And the universe left me alone on it for 23 hours.
All right.
But I would deal with it, and then, because what's happening is maybe you're not really dealing with it just for, you know, that 1 hour. Of course, the memories surface in your dreams. You wake up, you write them down, you deal with it, and you just tell yourself you're safe. But if you're obsessing about it during the day, it's going to be worse at night.
Okay.
Sometimes if we just deny it, if I would just deny it and pretend it didn't happen, then it'd come out in dreams. I mean, it's a kind of a balance between if you're obsessing about it all day long, it's going to put the thoughts into your head all night long. So 1 hour a day is enough. You know, you don't.
And
it works. It works. I'm not telling you not to forget about it. I'm just saying you do your homework 1 hour a day. Your angels of light will come to you. Your anxiety will diminish. But if you're going to obsess about it all day long and at night, it's going to be tormenting. I learned how to deal with it, and it really does work. The 1 hour a day.
It was just so bad, and from crib days and till an adult, and it's just there's so much.
And again, it'll take you 8 years to process all of it, but only 1 hour a day. Not letting it. It's the past. Mm-hmm. We need to live in the now. 23 hours a day.
Okay.
And that's it. It really does work. Call in about 2 weeks. Let me know if you're trying to. Do you have the book, The Courage to Heal, by the way?
I found some actually more current books. I looked at that. I didn't feel like it was for me at this point, but I found some other really awesome books on complex PTSD, and I'm getting
again,
a lot of
I would advise you to go back to The Courage to Heal.
Really? Okay.
I mean, you might be not one, you know, my clients that have really done The Courage to Heal have healed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe you just need to go back to that.
Okay, I'll take another look at it.
Okay, and let me know how it resonates with you this time. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We love you very much. Keep calling and let us know how you're doing.
I will. Thank you so much.
Bye.
And I wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
All right, Cindy.
Now, can you see, I'm really a pusher of the book, The Courage to Heal. It's about sexual abuse, and sometimes people put it down. And that's when I say, you pick that back up.
Anybody that's ever been through that, it's not an easy thing to confront. It's not an easy thing to deal with. And just like you're going to give yourself permission to kind of like dive into it and to really, you know, discover and feel the feelings that you need to feel in order to release them and in order to come to some sort of forgiveness, not necessarily for what happened, but to just allow yourself to move past it. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's everybody's journey is different where that's concerned, you know what I mean? But you also have to allow yourself the time, like you said, to walk away from it and say, you know what? That's what happened to me in the past, and it's contributing to what I go through today, but it is not who I am today. And what happened to me is not who I am today. And, you know, I think that Leah's just got to, you know, give herself permission to say, okay, I'm going to deal with this today for a little while, and then I'm going to live my life in right here and right now.
And if I would sometimes stop dealing with it, then the anxiety would happen again because it would be sort of like my dark angel saying, Cindy, you got to deal with it.
Yeah,
so sometimes
she's got some work to do. She has work to do, and it's not easy.
So, you know, just anybody who's going through this, it comes in waves. You think you've just healed something, and then the universe will give you a month peace, and then more stuff will come up. But I do have a client, and I've mentioned him before, and he was in Afghanistan, and when he came back, they did this test on, you know, his post-traumatic stress disorder, and he said, no, I had that from childhood. The wars were pretty easy. So he's been dealing with, he did do the book, The Courage to Heal. He's been a real advocate of it, and what a remarkable change in an eight-month period from a man who
Good
was self-destructive to one who's very creative, and his wife is going through similar memories now. So he's helping her through the book, and he does his homework, and he does it, and he says it's been really, really helpful. And I found it to be the thing that was most helpful to me, and so
great.
I can't share that enough. But anyway, we do have, is this my Irene?
We are going to Irene, who is out in L.A., Cindy.
So it's my Irene.
It could be your Irene. Yeah, I don't know. Is she your Irene? Does she belong to you, Cindy?
Yeah, she's
is
my
your girl
Irene.
Out in L.A.?
Yeah, she's my wonderful singer, and she's back in college, and she's brilliant, and she's one of my favorite clients. So,
all right. Well, Miss Irene had a reading with you about 3 months ago, and she's looking for some updates, my dear. So let's hook up Irene with some updates.
Hi, Irene.
Hello,
how are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. And the last guy, did you
cut him out now, or is he still contacting you?
Well, remember last time I spoke to you, I said that we had met up again and that he was doing well and, like, wasn't self-destructing and was, like, making progress, was in therapy, and that's, like, kind of, like, where we had left it last time.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, so we've been continuing to see each other, and, like, we've gotten, like, really, really close to each other, and I felt like it was going pretty well until this week.
Okay. And that's why, and consequently why, before you totally screw this thing up, you want some guidance. It's always easy to fix it before we wreck it. You know that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm going to shuffle up some cards. And, you know, you have that very strong soulmate connection with him, which you had from the start.
Yeah.
And then some of the, you know, differences emerged, or, you know, his fears kicked in.
Yeah. And we were apart for about a month. And, yeah, I mean, then, last I spoke to you, he seemed like he was doing well. He was doing the therapy thing. He was making progress. And he didn't seem to be, like, self-destructing, which is, like, why, you know, I decided to continue with it, you know?
Right. And, again, some stuff, like, you know, when we were talking with Leah before, you know, when people are in therapy, stuff starts coming up.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's when we're getting to the real Megillah, the real issues. People start running. They start sabotaging again.
Mm-hmm.
Healing is not a straight staircase up. It's a spiral staircase that goes up and dips down a lot and then comes back up and dips down and comes back up.
That's what my question kind of is, because I think I'm stuck right now in between. Is this kind of like just a part of a spiral staircase, or is this like, nah?
And again, I have very positive cards on him, by the way.
Really?
I mean, he has the potential to heal. Most of the cards are showing healing, and then there's the one card that shows he could walk away, which wouldn't be him rejecting you. It would be him rejecting the higher love you're offering and the healing that higher love brings. Now, Carl Jung was brilliant and realized most people are not going to heal all that much in this lifetime. They don't want to.
Right.
Those people with courage enough to heal, and it takes courage. And I remember in my own healing process, every time the universe would try to bring back memories, I'd get suicidal, and I'm not by nature a self-destructive person, but the universe would back off.
And
finally it got to the point when I hit 41, I said one day to God, I know you're trying to cover up something again for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you to tell me the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, I swear I won't kill myself, but I need you to tell me what it is I'm running from.
Right.
And that's when the healing started taking place. But until we say to God, give me the whole truth, nothing but the truth, the universe will veil it, disguise it. I mean, Jesus said, I could give you all the answers today, but people will kill themselves, humans. I have to veil it. I have to give them lift one veil at a time.
Yeah.
And at some of the big issues, and he's sort of trying to walk away from you right now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And what you can do is kind of say to him, that's not what I signed on for. If we're going to have a love affair, when things get rough, we stick 2 feet in here and we help each other. So if you can't deal with that, then walk away. But, it's kind of tough love at some level.
I'm running into this obstacle of, I wanted to sit down. We had like kind of like a big blow up last week. So we like took a few days about a week or so to breathe. So I'm trying to organize a meeting for us to kind of sit down and hash all that out to basically have that conversation. And I feel like he's avoiding it a bit.
Right.
So that scares me that I feel like maybe he could be giving in to like his urges and fears. Maybe there's someone else. Like, you know, this triggers a lot of my own fears. So I kind of want to know like what of that is my fears and what of that is true, you know?
Right now, he's not, it doesn't even look like he's dealing with another woman at all. He's dealing with his own demons. Whether he'll distract later on with, you know, drugs or drinking or partying is something, if that's whatever is his modus operandi, whatever is his drug of choice, it's always possible at this moment.
But I feel like it's OK Cupid is his drug of choice.
Okay, because OK Cupid says, what do I need to deal with Irene, who's asking me to heal my issues and have a higher love? Why don't I just go down the rung to narcissistic?
Exactly.
Where any girl who's pretty is interchangeable with the next one. Where
exactly.
And then every 3 months, I'm the prince, and it's all wonderful in it. And then 3 months from now, it all sucks, and I just get another one.
Exactly.
Again, unfortunately, the internet has created a monster man who doesn't have to heal or grow up anymore. And it's kind of like when you talk to him, it's going to be, look, if you're going to go back to your drug of choice, distracting with superficial love affairs, that's not what I signed on for.
That's exactly what I want to say. I'm just having trouble organizing that meeting, and that's what's worrying me.
Because he knows what you're going to say.
I know.
Soulmates are very telepathic. You're not going to tell him anything he doesn't know you're going to tell him. But he has to be ready to hear it. And again, the men are not growing up now. They're boys, and they don't think they have to support women, help women. They don't think they have to grow up. And it's up to women like you and me to start telling men, you grow up, it's all or nothing. I don't really care what your mommy and daddy did. Knock it off.
Exactly.
I am an advocate of there's a certain amount of time when you got to just knock it off already.
Exactly.
And if it makes me sound less than compassionate, I've been abused in every way, it doesn't give me a license to abuse people here today. They did not hurt me, these people. And again, get over it. And and that's why even with Leah, sometimes if we get into obsessing about the sexual abuse or about our past, then it becomes obsession and we get stuck in the past. That's why an hour a day is enough to deal with the past. Then we have to deal 23 hours a day with the present. And so you have to be a little tougher with him. When he's avoiding you, his pattern, when you get close, then he runs.
Oh, yeah. But the thing here is, I will say this, leading up to just this last, week, I would say, I will at least say that we have gotten really close, and instead of him running up until this point, what he has been doing has been communicating with me, and, that's why we've been able to kind of get through it, because he has been able to be like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. I feel like I want to run, but I know I don't want to, and we've been able to get through it. Now, this week, I'm getting a little worried because of this avoidance I'm feeling, so I'm not sure exactly what I need to do right now in order to get
nothing.
This down.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. Isn't that the hardest thing to do? Nothing.
Yes.
You can send him love on the soul plane. You can send him healing messages. But you can't really call him or chase him because he's going to run.
Yeah.
Just let it be. The therapy is starting to work, but a lot of people run when the therapist starts getting close.
Right.
With me, with people, when I finally get them here, they've done 90% of the healing, thank God. And then I force them to do that last 10%. I kick them hard, and I don't let them run, but they've already been prepared. He's denied a lot of his past, so it's a lot coming up at once. He hasn't processed more of it all along.
Mm-hmm.
So know that a lot of stuff is just coming, and it's growing up. Your generation doesn't want to grow up. The men don't want to. We mean, I have to care about somebody besides myself. I mean, I have to spend money on kids or maybe you. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to
mm-hmm.
grow up. And it's unfortunately that your generation is really prolonging adolescence too long.
Yeah.
And it's. Maybe it was my generation. We didn't kick you out of the nest fast enough. I don't know what we did, but the point is, it's really not wanting to grow up. And I'll tell
it
you,
is, yeah.
you're going to be your generation is going to be 60 years old and lonely.
I know.
I mean, they're going to be sitting at a bar at 60 and trying to pick up a 20-year-old. They're going to say, you look like my grandfather. It's absurd. And know that it's more he's afraid to grow up.
Definitely.
He moved away from his family, like Leah moved away from her family.
Yeah.
But they're still pretty haunting. Out of 8 cards, 7 are very positive on the relationship still. So We got the one very strong possibility.
I'm a little worried. I feel like this might be, I'm feeling like it might be an end right now because I'm feeling so much he knows that I want to like sit down and talk to him. I already communicated that to him, but I definitely see him trying to weasel out of it. So I don't know what to do.
And again, you're going to tell him we have to talk. You know, he may say, yeah, yeah, sure, and agree to meet you and not show up. I mean, what commitment phobics do is they leave us without communication. They don't even let us go in an arena to fight for them.
And that's what I feel like is happening right now. That's what I'm afraid of.
And, again, I like the way you say that's what I'm afraid of. There's two paths in life, love and fear. Try to visualize the outcome you want.
Yeah.
Also know that you're not going to stick around and enable him forever.
Yeah.
People have to grow up. And the fact that people are hurting each other in record numbers because they can't heal their issues. And that's the difference between people who heal and people who don't. I mean, when I would lose my mind with the rage issues from my childhood, I'd realize these people don't deserve this.
Yeah.
These people do not deserve my rage. And I would go inward and deeply search. And at first, I didn't know where the rage came from. I didn't know about the sexual abuse. I knew about beatings as a child, but I didn't know where the other rage was coming from. I practiced behavior modification. If I felt like I was going to lose it, I walked away.
Yeah.
I said, look, I'll be back in a little while. I learned to just walk away so I wouldn't hurt people. You know, even if we can't heal our issues, we have to learn to say, it's me, it's not you. There's something wrong with me.
Definitely.
You don't deserve my temper tantrum. You don't deserve this pain. But unless you're dealing with people who can say, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not going to say, it's me, and even if he would say to you, look, I love you more than I probably love anybody, but I'm all screwed up and I can't do this, Irene. I got to run. Okay, you've been honest.
Totally. And you know what? And I would respect that. I would respect that.
But
absolutely.
Don't just act like it's you or I can't deal with this. And come on. You know, this nonsense of not being able to communicate and hurting people with your lack of healing is what disturbs me immensely. So, again, behavior modification. If you can't get to the deep, dark issues, which I couldn't get to a long time, I did behavior modification. Okay, I felt negative and dark, but I acted positive and happy. After a while, you become positive and happy. Fake it.
Mm-hmm.
I faked it a lot because these people didn't deserve to see me unhappy.
Right.
So sometimes we need to come outside of ourselves, and it's also tolerating less abuse and not tolerating people doing this.
Exactly.
And his heart, you know, I'm seeing he thinks about you. He didn't know what soulmate was like before you. All he's known is very narcissistic ladder of love where any woman's interchangeable with another. He keeps trying to fight with you and bring it down to toxic and bring it down to no good.
He tries, but I'm too smart for that.
But what you're going to do is not engage in that.
Exactly. Which is what
you're not going to let him get you pissed off or you're screaming and having a hissy fit.
Yeah.
You're going to have to just state the facts. This is not what I signed on for. I want a man who wants to jump through hoops, and when I say I want to be with him, does cartwheels down the block for me. I don't want a man who says, I want you now, I don't want you. I don't know if I can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because men can go to war. They can't go to love.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the unknown territory. It's scary. It does demand healing your childhood issues. And stop judging your parents who might be fought like cats and dogs. Your love is hard.
Yeah.
You know, life is hard. Making a living is hard. It's growing up and start realizing our parents were children. They were young. They did the best they could, even if it was the worst they could, because they didn't know any better.
Exactly.
And his parents aren't that bad. They're just judgmental, from like seeing these cards.
They are. That's exactly what it is. Definitely.
And they're judgmental their way or no way. And, you know, again, get over it. If your parents aren't going to like what you're doing... So they don't like what you're doing.
Exactly.
I mean, really, I remember when my dad was, he was like 89 and still bossing me around like the Hitler that he was and saying, well, I'm going to cut you out of the inheritance. And I said to him, Dad, I've never sold my soul for money. Do what you got to do. But I'm hanging up. You can't abuse me.
Yes,
and it's the point where you just start saying to people, your parents, really, you don't like who I am or what I'm doing. That's your choice. Yeah. But he's got to grow up a little bit. But again, he ran. He pulled a geographic. He ran away from that.
Yeah.
A geographic never works because you can't run far enough.
You can't. You can't run from yourself. You can't.
No. And that the judgments are in him. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Corporate or parent judgments.
Completely.
And of course, you know, I'm not seeing this over. I'm seeing you need to practice patience. We all need to stop thinking
Definitely.
That we can't survive a week or two or a month while they're deciding what they're going
to
do.
Oh, that's the patience thing. That's totally my issue right now. That's something I need to work on. I'm totally aware of that.
Okay, and karmic lessons are patience, endurance, and perseverance. Sometimes we just have to endure.
Yeah.
And
well,
I realize I'm
more so, I just don't want, I want to be able to have that sit down, and I'm wondering how I can get that sit down. Like, the worst thing for me right now is for him to be able to pull off some slow fizz, and like that, like I can't like allow like a slow fizz to happen. You know what I mean? Like,
he may not allow you to talk. I mean, I learned everything I learned by loving the biggest commitment phobic in the world who would never talk to me. He could speak like four different languages, but he couldn't find one word to say hello, goodbye to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's realizing that if people have really big fears they can't confront, you may not be able to make them do that.
Right.
And it takes courage to heal, and it takes courage to grow up. And maybe, you know, the one thing that all commitment phobics have is a lack of courage. That's what
totally.
I told them.
They're cowards.
They're cowards. They're narcissists
they're cowards.
And cowards.
Yes,
you know, and if people are going to allow it and tolerate it, it just doesn't go. So, again, maybe he won't have the courage to speak to you. Because commitment phobics never say anything. This way they can walk back on our life.
Mm-hmm.
They don't end
exactly.
it. They don't
it's like a just-in-case thing.
And this way I haven't done anything wrong.
Exactly.
And just give it a week. Don't do anything.
It's,
if you feel that little voice inside
week.
Of you, okay, give it another week. But if you feel that voice saying, call him now, listen to your gut. But if it's fear, panic, I can't live, then it's addiction, okay? No, you can live without speaking to him. But
oh,
no,
it's not that. What feels urgent to me is having this talk. That's what feels urgent to me.
And again, something that you have to be patient because he's not ready to hear it.
Yeah.
So if you try to get people to see things before the time, remember I was telling you, when my clients come here, they're 90% healed. I can kick them in the ass forward because they've already done a lot of work. But if someone comes here who hasn't done any healing, I have to tiptoe near that because they're going to run.
Right.
You can't just dump things in people's lap, and if they're not ready to hear it, I'll have clients tell me, yeah, great reading. Then they tell everybody what a horrible reader I was because they didn't want to hear what I said.
Right.
And then they'll call 2 years later apologizing because it was what they needed to hear, but they weren't ready to hear it. So if someone's not ready to hear your message, don't even bother delivering it.
Yeah.
Just a little patience.
So I might have to let this be a slow fizz?
No, you might. I'm not saying that he won't talk to you, but maybe just not today.
Right. Well, I'm not saying it has to be today. I'm just saying, like, within the next week.
Right. And like again, if you give it a week, if you don't hear from him, then, yes, speak to him in a week.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
here,
and then
where
again,
I'm at right now, a week passed. We didn't speak for a week. Then after that week, then I hit him up like yesterday to basically try to facilitate for us a sit down between us, and he's trying to weasel his way out of it now. So a week passed, and then this week. So it's almost been about 2 weeks since like.
All right, and then you have to just say I want to meet with you. Today or whatever, give him a concrete, and if he doesn't show up, then you have to take it that he's running.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And accept what it is. But sometimes we just need patience. And that's one of the things. Just be a little bit patient. He may have to sit with it a while. He may have to figure out why this scares him so much.
Uh-huh.
And again, true love makes you have to grow up. And your generation also isn't having kids yet, you know, young enough. I mean, once you have kids, you got to grow
up. Is that something that he, okay, well, the question here is that something that he's really thinking about and contemplating on moving forward? Or is he just like, let me just indulge in my drug? Like, which one of those is going on?
It's a little bit of both, but even indulging in his iCupid and talking to women, once you've had a soulmate, it doesn't work as easily anymore. It doesn't quite feel fun. It doesn't feel fun anymore.
It doesn't give you the same high. Yeah, exactly.
So, again, maybe he needs to go back a month with his addiction to realize if you don't come groveling after him, maybe he'll come to you and say, okay, I'm ready. I got it out of my system. I'm ready. So sometimes we need to just let people get things out of their system.
Right.
And go fall off the wagon. And realize once you've had a soulmate, you could never settle for a lower level of love. It's just not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Unless you're
so
fear-based. And believe me, there's plenty of those people.
I've met them before.
Right. I mean, there's plenty of those people. But again, you know, call in again next week and let us know what's happening, by the way.
Okay.
But, you know, already his soul is hearing what you're thinking, so... He has to fear losing you more than loving you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of our show. Thanks for calling in, Irene. Let me know what happened.
Thank you. I will.
Your story is so interesting, by the way. You know.
I'm glad.
I mean, it's again. We say this all the time. I mean, I'm getting rich on commitment phobia. I'm telling you, really. I mean, really. I go, if it weren't for the commitment phobics, I'd have no business going here.
Hey, same with me. I'm studying to be a couples counselor. So there you go.
That's what I'm saying. So I mean, what can I tell you? This is a major problem.
Oh yeah. Oh,
well, good luck to you. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Nicole, you've been very quiet today. We've run the gamut, but mostly what we've been talking about is, you know, people not wanting to heal. And tonight, and you know, commitment phobics, and you know, it's terrible. Isn't that a big problem? The commitment phobics.
Commitment phobics. Just it's. You know what it's. That fear is everywhere. It's not. It's commitment of everything. No, it's not even just relationships. That's what makes it, I think, sadder. You know,
right,
commitment. You know, over everything.
Right. Where are they going to live? If they're going to have children, if they're going to grow up. And again, sometimes we just need to plant roots somewhere. That's the first step. But I'm so glad I had a couple of my regular clients tonight. I love that. You know, it's
awesome.
A little continuing story. Well, Nicole, thank you for everything. By the way, the girls are coming just for a little rehearsal Tuesday night to do their little part, so they'll be ready.
Excellent. Well, we still need to get together and figure out a time, but between both of our schedules, it's a pain in the butt. So next week, I need some of your time. We're going to have to sit down. We're going to have to get some stuff written down on paper. We're going to have a plan, and we're going to have to get this project moving. So, you know, let the girls do their little rehearsal and everything. You rehearse with them, but I'm going to need you for a minimum of an hour at least next week so we can just get together and get some of this stuff down.
All right, so you'll let me know your schedule, my darling. You have a new schedule.
Oh, don't worry about my new schedule. You tell me your schedule.
Okay, good. I will email you with the openings that I have.
Thank you, my darling.
I love you.
To all, thank you. I love you too, Cindy. To all, thank you for listening to us, and thank you for joining us tonight. And please do not forget to buy Cindy's new book.
Yes, that would be great. Bye.
All right, guys. Good night.